All right, very good. Good job. Take your Bible, please, and go to the book of Genesis, chapter 27. Chapter 27, look at verse 21. The book of Genesis, chapter 27, verse 21. And here's the story of Jacob and Esau. I want us to note individually what is happening here with these two men. We're in Genesis, chapter 27, verse 21. Let's all stand together, if you will. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, "And Isaac said unto Jacob, Draw near, I pray thee." Now I want you to watch the wording here specifically, "that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not." Notice the next verse. "And Jacob went near unto Isaac, his father, and he felt him and said, The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And I want to speak tonight on controlling your emotions. Father, I pray that you would bless. Thank you for tonight. Speak to our hearts again. We do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated, if you will. As we see the story here, as I speak on controlling your emotions, we see this, that there's two men here involved. Here's what we see. The Bible talks about how Isaac was an older man at that time, a man that was losing his sight. He couldn't see very well. And so the Bible talks about how now he said unto Jacob, of course, Jacob being the one that entered into the room to deceive his dad. The Bible says, come nigh, or come near, if you will. He says, I pray thee that I may feel thee. Then you'll see this. The Bible talks about how, of course, he wants to feel him to see if it is his very son Esau or not. Then the Bible says that he felt him. And he said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. He made a tragic decision here. He went by his feelings and not by the word that he heard. And here's what I find out in many places across America tonight, that people, especially Christians, are going by what they feel rather than the spoken word. And it's getting a lot of Christians in trouble because they base their decisions based on feelings rather than the principles, the precepts, and the truth of God's word. Here's what the Bible says over in the book of Job, chapter 24, and verse 12. The Bible says, "Men groan," it says, "from out of the city, and the soul of the wounded crieth out." There's feelings involved there. "The soul of the wounded crieth out, yet God layeth not folly to them." Over in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 8, and verse 5, the Bible says, "Whosoever keepeth the commandment shall feel," it says, "no evil thing." Now, again, it's keeping the commandment that helps them not to feel an evil thing. The Bible says, "And a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment." So a man that has a wise heart, not only does he determine what to do, he determines when to do it. Judgment then, of course, is how to do it. And so we understand here that this is talking about a person's feelings, yea, feelings, very much acquainted, very much associated with that which is the subject matter of emotions. You know, most of the time, emotions is something, if you would please, that somebody needs to learn to restrain. You know, a person must guard, yea, they must guide, they must keep a strong grasp on their emotions. A dog, if you would please, needs a good collar, if you would, a leash, something that will firmly master it to be able to help it, especially in going out into the general populace. A fire needs a good strong pit. Might be a stone pit, it might be a metal ring, it might be, if you would please, a brick oven, but something that would help it to stay within the boundaries. So it is with our emotions tonight. Emotions can go out blazingly, and when it does, oftentimes, more than not, it goes out and it does cause destruction. You know, God gives us several ways to be able to control our emotions. You'll see the Bible gives several principles to be able to help with our emotions so that it stays, if you would please, within the fire pit that is surrounding it, and it does not go into a blaze whereby many things are destroyed in its harshness as it travels. You'll see that emotions, if we're not careful, and again, we're talking about emotions and dealing with our feelings, can be something that could distort the very will of God for somebody's life. You know, a part of God's command in Titus 2 is that we learn to be sober. That means to be serious. Being able, if you would please, to think our way through something before, if you will, making a decision. So what is it that we could do tonight as a church family as we speak on this tonight? What is it that we could do as a church family, yea, individually, to be able to help us when it comes to controlling our emotions? What is it that we could do? I mean, God gives us several principles we want to look at tonight. Let me give them to you. Statement number one, seek the Holy Spirit's guidance daily. Seek the Holy Spirit's guidance daily. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 41, the Bible says, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The Spirit indeed is willing, listen to it now, but the flesh is weak. So you want to make sure that you yield to that which is, yea, be sensitive to the one who is the Holy Spirit of God. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, the Bible says, and be filled with the Spirit. That's capital S, talking about Holy Spirit. 1 John 4 and 4, the Bible says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So your emotions, you have to be very careful. Your emotions sometimes will be stronger than your will. So you have to be very careful to discern what the will of God is, and to be able to view it in proper perspective, regardless, listen to me now, of how you feel. You have to decide that God is always going to be right, amen, and man will often be wrong. And so we have to understand that our desires sometimes will be stronger than our ability to be able to restrain. We need to understand that strength alone is not going to get the victory. The Bible says the arm of the flesh shall fail you. So you've got to be careful to understand tonight that if you're relying on the arm of the flesh, it's going to fail every single time. Ladies, you have to be especially careful about this. Oftentimes, more than not, a lady is more emotional than a man. So you got to be very, very careful. I've often said this, that when you're emotionally involved in something, it's not the right time to make a decision. You wait till you get away from the emotional attachment of it. Matter of fact, I needed to make a decision yesterday, and I called a preacher friend of mine, and I said, I'm emotionally attached to this, and so I need somebody that has no emotional attachment. And I need you to give me some wisdom, because I'm emotionally attached to this. And so I have enough common sense to back out and say, okay, show me the guidance in which you think a person ought to do that is in pursuit to making a wise decision, and I want to listen as you talk to me. All right? And so it is in your life. Sometimes you're going to have to be able to chat with somebody that doesn't have an emotional attachment so that you can be able to make a wiser decision. A wiser decision doesn't mean that that's going to be something that you like. A wiser decision doesn't necessarily mean something that you're even going to agree with God on. But a wiser decision based on the principles of the Word of God will always be right, as God will guide you. So we understand this tonight. We understand that we ought to seek, if you will please, the Holy Spirit's guidance daily in making the right decision. The Holy Spirit will never mislead you. But you can get the Holy Spirit's leading, stay with me now, you can get the Holy Spirit's leading confused with your feelings if you're not careful. Because you think, well, I feel like I ought to do this. And if you do feel like you ought to do that, but principles do not line up with what you feel like you ought to do, then you're probably going to make a mistake. The principles of the Word of God will always lead you to be able to help you. So statement number one, here's what we see. Seek the Holy Spirit's guidance daily. And we're talking about how is it that you can practice controlling your emotions. You let God be the one that gives you guidance. You let God be the one that will help you. A boy came to me years ago and he said, boy, I tell you what, preacher. He said, there's a girl, I really like her. I just really like her. I mean, I'm telling you, I really like her. I said, well, there's a problem. She's not even saved. And the Bible says, now we're going to bring the Bible in this, but the Bible says, be not unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. Therefore, your emotions are out of balance. Had a girl come to me years ago. She said, preacher, and this is back when I was a youth director. She said, preacher, she said, I like so-and-so that's in the youth department. I said, he's no good. You ought not like him. Did you hear what I said? I said, he's no good. You ought not like him. You stop liking him until he gets his act together, until he surrenders to God and puts God first. And it's evident that he has God first. Then and then after he proves himself, it might be okay to like him. But as long as he's walking down this trail that he's walking down, if you were my daughter and you were asking me, I'd say run from that boy. I'd run from that boy. And so she did. Years later, he wound up in prison. You know, sometimes you need to understand what the principles say. You know, when it comes to money, you say, I want to make money, preacher, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go down to the racing track and I'm going to bet on the dog. You'd be better off to go buy a hamburger and pretend it's dog. Can I tell you something tonight? You make sure that your principles line up. You have godly parents, and your parents say, look, I don't think you ought to even consider that boy. I don't think you ought to even consider that girl. You better listen to those parents. You better understand that God gave you parents that have more wisdom in their pinky than you've got in your head. You have to understand tonight that God is going to give you some principles to follow. And one of the things that he's going to do is he's going to use the Holy Spirit of God when a man of God gets up and the man of God begins to teach or begins to preach. He's going to show you this you ought to do and this you ought not to do. And that's going to help you to make wise decisions. Statement number one, I'm saying this tonight, seek the Holy Spirit's guidance daily. How is it that we can control our emotions? Statement number two, seek spiritual authorities' advice. Seek spiritual authorities' advice. I love my parents. I talk very finely about my parents. I from time to time I will say some things to help you to understand my history, my background, but you will never hear me say that I hate my parents or that I disrespected my parents. You'll never hear that from my mouth. Because I greatly loved my parents. You said, well, sometimes you shared about your dad and your dad had some bad habits. I understand that. I don't know of too many people in this world that doesn't have some bad habits. But it doesn't stop me from loving and respecting my parents. And my dad wasn't a saved man. But my dad knew how to be able to wire a house. My dad could take apart a motor and put it back together without having a game plan of knowing how to do it. He was that good. My dad had character. He'd rise up early in the morning and he'd sit up late at night and he put bread on the table. But you know, I didn't go to my dad for spiritual advice because my dad wasn't saved. He couldn't give me spiritual advice. So when it came time to be able to get spiritual advice, I had to go to somebody that was spiritual. I had to go to somebody that had their nose in the Bible. I had to go to somebody, if you would please, that would know what they were talking about when they were talking about it. And so the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 5, the Bible says, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. A man of understanding shall attain, it says, unto wise counsels. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 9, the Bible says, give instruction to a wise man and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase learning. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 14, the Bible says, where there is no counsel, it says, is the people fallen. The Bible says, but in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 12 and in verse 15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. So God says this. God says we ought to seek, if you would please, that which is those that have wisdom, spiritual authorities for advice. Go to somebody that is spiritual and ask them. Now, by the way, restraining these emotions, it's over your head. It's over your head. It's out of your ballpark. We had a president that would say it's above my pay grade. Well, this is above your pay grade. Can I tell you this tonight, that you dealing with this big, nasty, powerful feelings that you have sometimes will overwhelm you. Without help, it's going to drag you through the dirt. Without help, it's going to put your head in the mud. Without help, it's going to cause you to make some decisions that's just not wise. So you need help. Teenagers sometimes are the world's worst. They say, I'm a teenager and I know better than my parents. Pardon me. You're not as old as your parents, which means you've not been around as long as your parents, which means you don't have the experiences of your parents, which means you probably don't have the practical know-how of your parents, nor the wisdom. If I wanted to get wisdom, I would go to somebody that has the spiritual insight to give me those wisdom. You know, teenagers nowadays, they say this. They say, well, my parents are strict. But what are they strict about? They don't want you to drive the car at the age of 5? Is that what they're strict about? They don't trust you to make adult decisions while you still have pimples? Is that what they're strict about? They don't trust you with their bank book because you failed math? Is that what they're strict about? They don't trust you to drive the car because, after all, they tell you to take out the trash and you can't even do that. Is that what they're strict about? They don't trust you to buy your own clothes because you keep losing every article of clothing they buy you. Is that what they're strict about? You say, well, my parents expect me to go to church. Oh, I'm sorry, they want you to be spiritual. Well, my parents expect me to sit up in church and listen to the preaching. Amen. Wow, they're trying to get you to get some wisdom. Amen. Well, my parents expect me not to play on my cell phone when the pastor's preaching. Well, maybe they're trying to help you. Maybe they're trying to guide you. So many times, I'm telling you, as teenagers get older, they become completely persuaded that they know more than their parents. You say, well, I tell you what, my parents is old fuddy-duzzies. Yeah, but don't forget, they're the ones that's buying the house. Well, they just don't know much. Don't forget, they're the one buying the car. What have you bought? Well, preacher, they just don't know. They're the one that has the earned degrees. You haven't made it past 7th grade yet. Who has more wisdom? I'm saying this tonight, and I'm trying to be very kind and congenial in the way that I'm saying it. But statement number one, seeking the Holy Spirit guidance daily can help you control your emotions. Statement number two, if you will, single out spiritual authorities' advice. Single them out. Don't be afraid to go ask. My dad said this. And I've quoted my dad, and I'm sure somebody else said it. He picked it up as somebody else said it before that person, and he picked it up. But he said this, there's no such question that's a dumb question. He said the only dumbest thing you could ever do is not ask questions. Okay, so find somebody that's got more financial integrity than you do and say, how'd you do that? How'd you do that? Find somebody that's raised some godly kids and say, how'd you do that? How'd you do that? Find somebody that has some people skills and say, how'd you do that? How'd you do that? I'm saying this, that in order to control your emotions, you have to seek the Holy Spirit's guidance daily. Single out spiritual authorities' advice. Statement number three, search for commands and principles to follow. Search for commands and principles to follow. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 17, the Bible says, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, capital S talking about Holy Spirit, and the Spirit, talking about Holy Spirit, it says against the flesh. These are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Now you're going to have inner turmoil all the days of your life. The inner turmoil you have inside of you right now as a teenager is not going to go away. You're going to have that inner turmoil all the days of your life until you take your dying breath. You do not grow out of it. Your flesh does not want to please God. The Holy Spirit that dwells inside of you does want you to please God. And there's going to be contrariness, one against the other, all the days of your life. The preacher has it. The deacon has it. The staff member has it. The best member that you think is the best member has it. There's always going to be that contrariness. You know, when emotions go ablaze, if you will, it's extremely difficult to limit it. When you're mad at someone, when you want to tell somebody off, when somebody upsets you, you want to text them. You want to call them. You want to give them a piece of your mind, though it is so small. But you want to give them a piece of your mind. Because after all, they need to know. Now, can I tell you this? That you have to be careful. You spend time searching your Bible commands. You spend time searching and following principles. It's very tough to sit across the room, in any room, at any size, when you have feelings inside of you disturbing you because of that other person. It's hard, but that's your flesh. That's your flesh. It's miserable tonight to be able to be a person that feels like you're emotionally distraught. You're like a wild animal trying to get out of a cage, and you just can't get out because you're just emotionally distraught. You got to tell somebody. You got to punch somebody. You got to talk to somebody. You got to shout at somebody. You got to scream at somebody. You got to curse at somebody. You got to run somebody off the road. You've got to be able to honk your horn at somebody. You've got to be able to overeat. Yes. 5 bags of chips tonight. Yes, 5 desserts tonight. Yes, 2 gallons of milk tonight. Hello. People that allow their emotions to control them always overreact. They overreact mentally. They overreact socially. They overreact physically. They overreact spiritually. So what do you do? What do you do? How do you control your emotions? Statement number one, you seek the Holy Spirit's guidance daily. You single out spiritual authorities for advice. You search for Bible commands and principles to follow. You ready? Here it is. I'm done. Statement number last, you separate your emotions from truth, then follow truth. You separate your emotions from truth, then follow truth. Amen. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 3, the Bible says, and let mercy and true, listen to it now, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 4, the Bible says, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding, listen to it now, in the sight of God and man. So he says, now, wait a minute. Here's what you do. You let not mercy and truth forsake thee. So you're going to get some mercy. What is that? That's withholding judgment. I feel like slapping, but I don't. What is the I don't? That's called mercy. We should die and burn in hell, but we are not. You know why? Because the mercy of God endureth forever. Amen. So what do? Here's what you do. You bathe your mind, your heart, your soul, your being in mercy and truth. The Bible says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. When I lived in the Northeast, we had winter 5 months out of the year. I do not complain that God has put me in Texas. We had winter 5 months out of the year. You know what I would do? I would take a winter scarf and I'd bind it about my neck. You know why I did that? Because I wanted to stay warm. So I'd take that scarf and I'd go around my neck, around my neck, around my neck. And I had that big overcoat on. I had a hat that I would wear. Okay. And so what was I doing? It was bound around my neck to be able to protect me. Now here's what wisdom's going to do. When you take wisdom and you bind it around your neck, when you take mercy, when you take truth, you bind it around your neck, it offers you protection that you would not have if you do not do that. So here's what we see. The Bible says that, and then you write them upon the tables of your heart. That's the interior of your heart. This is the master station where you make, that's why the Bible says to protect your heart. Why? Guard your heart. Why? Because out of it are the issues of life. The word issues means decisions. You're going to make decisions with your heart. You better make sure that you've got a lot of wisdom in your heart. Here's what it says. So shalt thou find favor, and it says, in good understanding in the sight of God and man. So, hey, you can find favor in the sight of God. Understanding in the sight of God and man. So here's what we understand. The Holy Spirit can help you. Godly parents, godly counselors, godly authority can help you. It's, if you would please, it's like the big dog, if you will. You know, you can train. Rebecca has a dog. When she bought the dog was this big. Nice little dog. But I and she did too, but I said, I've done some reading on a dog like that. It doesn't stay little. Now her dog weighs 90 pounds or so. Now the dog, when she stands up to Rebecca's shoulders. Now the dog's head is bigger than Rebecca's head. That is not a little pet. That is a monster. Now, may I say this? Separate your emotions from the truth, then follow truth. It's neat if you ever visit Thailand. Come with me on one of the trips and you visit Thailand. And you go down where they keep the elephants. The elephants. The elephants are tied by a little string. That's it. To a pole. Little string, pole. That's it. You know why? Because they trained those elephants when they were very young to obey. And they trained them when the elephant would try to get away, had a strong leash, if you will. Strong rope, a strong tie around them. They try to jerk away, couldn't. Try to jerk away, couldn't. Went through years of that. Now, what happens is, the elephant says, there's no sense in trying. So they never try again. Okay? Your emotions is the same way. You can train your emotions to say, we're not going there again. We're just not going to go there again. By God's grace, power, help, and wisdom, no. When I was coming up as a child, I grew up around cursing. Not with the grandparents. But when I moved home, I emphasized I love my parents. But that's what I grew up around. So when I went to Bible college, I still had the curse words. You say, well, you were saved, but I wasn't sanctified yet. Many areas of my life, I was not separated, as you call Bible separation, yet. So I'd be going around and something would get me mad. I think nothing about it. It was my second speech. I blurt out curse words. And I was in Bible college. I got in trouble in Bible college my first year, more for cursing than anything else under heaven, and I was in Bible college. You said, what'd you do? Had to retrain myself. You said, well, you were a Christian. Yeah, I know that. But Christians don't automatically start acting Christian. It takes time. New convert comes to church and you say, well, they shouldn't behave that way. They've been in church 2 months. You've been in church 20 years. What's your excuse? Takes time to grow. You know, lady's coming to church and she's not dressing right. Okay, since you know what is right, why don't you help her? But here's what we do. I can't believe so-and-so. I just can't believe so-and-so. And yet you get mad when somebody gossips about you. I'm saying, by the way, this is a big boy and big girl message tonight. Here's what we understand. Separate your emotions from truth, then follow truth. Feelings can force truth obeyed out. Because you reason within yourself. Well, I disagree with so-and-so. Have you talked to them? Or are you just talking about them? Well, so-and-so gets on my nerves. Wonder how many people's nerves you get on. See, we are quick to slap because that's fun. But it's hard to be able to control. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32, the Bible says this, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. Listen to it now. He that ruleth his spirit than him that taketh a city. So the Bible talks about ruling your spirit. Oh, you say, well, I can't wait for my husband to come home because I'm going to tell him everything that went wrong today. Maybe you ought to let the guy get in the front door first. Maybe you ought to feed him a good meal first. Maybe you ought not to bring up everything at once. Maybe you ought to rule your spirit. Hello? I can't stand when my husband drives. He gets too close to the edge. Maybe you don't need to tell him every time. Maybe you could tell him different than grabbing his arm that's on the steering wheel and saying, you're going to kill us. Maybe what you could say is, honey, could you pay attention to the edge? You're pretty close. Rather than saying, you're at the edge again. By the way, if they have a smartphone and they've got the instructions punched in, you don't need to tell them every time. The turn is right up here. Let the cell phone tell them. It has a woman's voice too. Let the cell phone tell. Turn up here. That way he doesn't get upset with you. The sermon is almost over. Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 28, the Bible says this: he that hath no rule over his spirit. So there's the one example, has a rule. Here's the one that has no rule over his spirit. He that hath no rule over his spirit is like a city that's broken down and without walls. Somebody doesn't rule their spirit well, you never know how they're going to react, because they're all over the place. You just never know. Are they going to be happy? Are they going to be glad? Are they going to be sad? You just never know. I had an uncle. My uncle worked as one of the top dogs in Social Security Department. I mean, when he retired into heavy six digits. You know, I'm talking heavy six digits. Lived in a beautiful home down in Baltimore City, Maryland. Oftentimes, the Social Security Department would send him to Hawaii or to France or to Switzerland among the Alps, and they would have their meetings at your expense. But that was a part of the perks that he had. I remember he was always calm, cool, and collected. Whenever he disagreed with somebody, I never heard him raise his voice. He'd simply put them in their place, and he would say, "What you're saying right now is not wise. I suggest you rethink it. When you rethink it, you come back with a rational reasoning, and you and I will have a chat." I heard him talk to people that made money just like him, heavy, heavy, heavy digits. I heard him correct multimillionaire after multimillionaire, and he never backed down, but he never raised his voice. He was always that person that was just, this is the way it is, this is what you need to do, this is how you do it, and if you do it, it'll turn out well, and if you don't do it, it's going to eat your lunch. I listened to him over and over again. He was very well respected in his corporation, extremely respected in his corporation. Now, can I tell you, he learned how to rule his spirit. He learned how to rule his spirit. Now, may I say this tonight? It's important that you seek the Holy Spirit for guidance daily. It's important that you single out spiritual authorities for advice. It's important that you seek Bible commands and principles to follow. And finally, I said, it is important that you separate your emotions from truth, then follow truth. Amen. And God will help you to make wise decisions and be able to control your emotions. Father, I pray that you'd help us tonight.